Hey, good morning, and how great is our God, and how good is your singing. Fantastic. Hey, good morning, and thank you all for being here. For those of you who are online, thanks for joining in with us. We're in a single service this morning, and we're excited to be praising God and hearing God's word proclaimed by Brother Neil. Hey, I need your help. Right outside this door on your right, there's a sign-up sheet. And the folks that are putting on the 2025 New Year's Fellowship time and meal need you to sign up. They have to order food tomorrow, and we need the final count. There's not enough names on that list out there yet, as many folks as we have in fellowship here. Please go ahead and sign up if you want to come to that, and it'll be an exciting time. We meet at 5 o'clock. For the mealtime, and at 6 o'clock for the singing. So please sign up. It gets better. Back in the back foyer this morning, there's a very important couple. Vicki and Eric Miner are back there with a table that has some needs to be filled. Our children ministry starts classes next Sunday and next Wednesday night. Children's church continues during the quarter. Folks, we don't have enough volunteer teachers and teachers' assistants. Please pray about it, sign up about it, and help us on the children's hallway out here for filling our classes. There's curriculum that's phenomenal. It's been prepared, it's ready. They have samples of it back there. But please answer the call. We need your help. If we can't staff it, we can't offer it. That's not good. So please, give it some thought, sign up, and help us get through. And then I guarantee you, you'll enjoy being over there and working with the kids of that age group. If you haven't looked at your bulletin yet, please take a look at two pages that talk about what's happening. Quarter one is phenomenal about what's happening. And there's opportunities for participation, for fellowship, for serving, anytime, anywhere. Please take a look at those listings in your bulletin and make a plan to come and enjoy some time together in doing that. God will be honored and you will be blessed more than ever. Jen Blackwell is coming now to talk about excitement of the adult education quarter one.
If you have not already picked one up, on the tables in the back, there is a listing of all of the adult education classes for the next quarter, which begins next Sunday. In this room, Shaq will be leading a discussion of the Holy Spirit. Back in the corner back there, there's going to be a deep dive on the book of Exodus entitled Lessons as You Leave. The ladies in room one will be studying Proverbs. I'm going to step into the kitchen, not a kitchen, with the younger adults and teach a course called These Things I Believe. And then on Wednesday night, we will be starting with Mark 2. No, we're past Mark 2, but we will be continuing our study of Mark. One of the things that I neglected to put on here was the singing nights, but the last Sunday, or last Wednesday of every month, we do our singing night. And then we've got a couple of special offerings on Wednesday nights, starting on the 9th. Back in room number one, I will be leading a 3 or 4 week study or discussion of how to study the Bible. I have been asked by several people for us to look at that. And so in response to that, we're going to look at the types of Bible study, the tools of Bible study, and things like that. Wednesday nights at 7, starting on the 9th. And then following that, in February, Mark and Jill will do another session of the vertical marriage. So please, pick one of these up, plan to attend the class that seems to be best aligned with your needs. Thank you.
Children's Church, come on down, kids. Come on down, boys and girls. Did you have a good Christmas? Yeah, did you get lots of toys? Do some fun stuff?
Yeah.
Yeah? Well, good, good. Were you ready for Children's Church today? Yeah. You know what you're going to be talking about today?
Yeah.
You're going to be talking about marriage. Any of y'all gotten married while I was gone?
No,
nobody got married up here? Okay, well, you're going to be studying the book called Song of Solomon. And it is about getting married and staying married. You get to marry somebody and spend the rest of your life with them. And that's what this book is about. But before you go and you learn about all that, you got to remember, God loves you, and so does Mr. Neal. Go have fun. Good morning, church.
Good morning.
It is so good to see you here today. I looked around this morning as you were coming in. We've got visitors today. We want you to know you're our honored guest. We want to invite you back at every opportunity that you have. We're doing something different today. This is not our normal service. We're doing a service called Reset. And what we mean by reset is every once in a while, you have to reset things to make sure they're working properly. I don't know about you, but on my computer from time to time, they will do an update, and then I'll have to reset my computer by turning it off and turning it back on. Same thing with my phone. The other day, it wasn't working right. I called the help desk, waited 30 minutes to talk to them, and they finally said, well, just turn your phone off and turn it back on. It will reset itself. I'm not asking you this year to plan resolutions. What I'm asking you to do this year is a reset on what you need to focus on. You see, a lot of us have had successes in this past year. A lot of us had some failures in this past year. But whatever it is that you're going through right now, today would be a good day as you worship God through song for you to reset. If you look at your lesson notes, you'll see in Philippians chapter 3, verses 7 and 8, this was Paul writing, and he is writing and he is doing his reset. But whatever were gains to me, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them garbage that I may gain Christ. This year, I don't want you to focus on things. I want you to focus on the person of Jesus Christ and knowing Him better and loving Him more.
This song sings better when we're standing. Would you stand, please?
When peace like a river runs
when sorrows like sea fill us,
In the military, when you go through basic training, you're trained to shoot, and in the shooting range, you have a target that you have to aim at, and you have to shoot. In order to qualify on the rifle that you're shooting, you have to get so many within that target. And while you're sitting there and you're aiming, you're taught to breathe a certain way and to focus on that target. Well, there could be many distractions. You know, the instructor could be yelling you to you know, sit or to lay a certain way or to stand a certain way. Other rifles could be going off, you know, that could take your focus on your aim off that target. And if you're not aiming properly or not following the instructions, you could miss that target, you know, with all the distractions. And just like in life, you know, there's many distractions that can take our aim off of our goal, and our aim should be on attaining the goal of eternal life. And that target that we're aiming for is Christ, because Jesus said, only one to get through the Father is through me. And we'd be thinking about that as we read the scripture from Philippians chapter 3, verses 12 through 14. Paul writes to the Philippians, not that I have already obtained all this, or have I arrived at my goal, but I press on to take hold that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead. I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. Let us all bow in prayer to our Lord at this time. Almighty God and Father, we come to you and giving thanks that we're able to come and worship you in spirit and truth, freedom from persecution, and lifting up your almighty name because you are worthy of our praise. We give thanks, Lord, for your love for us, and that through your Son, Jesus Christ, we can seek forgiveness and seek a communion with you, Lord, and be in your presence because of his blood and his sacrifice. Let us not lose our aim of your Son, Jesus, and let us not all the things of this world distract our aim. And please fill us with your Spirit that we could stay on target, stay on goal, as we continue to worship you in spirit and truth. We ask all these things in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
I stand to praise you, but I
teenager, I heard about a house fire, and this particular lady, her house burned to the ground, but the story was, and I verified it with her, is that she actually went into the house to retrieve a chest full of pictures and memorabilia that she had collected her entire life. And the chest was pretty big. It was kind of like a footlocker. But she said she went in there, grabbed that chest by herself, and took it out of the house while it was in flames all around her. And she brought it outside and set it in the yard. But later on that day, after they put out the fire, she could not move the chest anymore because of the fact that it was too heavy. But she said all of her family photos and all of the things that she had collected over the years about her family were in that chest, and somehow she had strength while the house was burning to take that and lift it. Last night I was watching YouTube videos. Nancy's not at home. I get to do what I want. And one of the videos was a bear that knocked through a screen door and was about to attack some dogs. And the owner went after the bear. And I don't know how it happened, but he scared the bear off and didn't get hurt. I've also heard of people lifting cars and doing impossible things because a loved one was underneath them. All of these things of incredible strength come from a motivation of love. And as you're resetting your strength this year, I want you to reset your strength that comes from a motivation of Christ's love for us and our love for Christ. Philippians chapter 4, verses 10 through 13. I rejoice greatly in the Lord that at last you renewed your concern for me. Indeed, you were concerned, but had no opportunity to show it. I'm not saying this because I am in need, for I have learned to be content, whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty, and I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do all things through Him who gives me strength.
Let's prepare our hearts and minds for communion.
Jesus is Lord, my
Amen. What a wonderful worship service we're having. We come to that portion where we focus on what is really the central part of our service each Sunday, where we focus on the communion of the Lord's Supper. If you're here and you want to participate in the Lord's Supper and you didn't get one of the cups, please raise your hand and someone will bring one to you. A few weeks ago, I was walking through our neighborhood, walking our dog, and I looked up and saw a sandhill crane. Now, if you're familiar with Florida, you know that's not an unusual sight, as they seem to be pretty much everywhere. But what was unusual is that this one was by himself. And that's not completely out of the question, but usually you see two or three or sometimes a whole group of them together. This one was by himself. And what was even more unusual is he was running. And if you know sandhill cranes, you know that their pace is typically slightly faster than a turtle, especially if they're crossing the street with a line of traffic trying to get by. And as I looked closer, I saw that not only was he running, but he was frantically looking from side to side, and you literally could see the panic in his eyes, and I realized that this was a baby crane who had become separated from his parents. Well, thankfully, after just a few seconds, you heard his mama's cry from a few hundred feet away, and he took off and flew over to her, and a little while later, I saw the happy family, mom, dad, and baby, in their normal resting place. But this was a reminder that even in the animal world, when a child becomes separated from his parents, panic sets in very quickly. And if you've ever gotten separated from your child at the grocery store for a few seconds, or worse yet, at the county fair, you know that that panic is even greater in the parent than it is in the child. I got another story I want to share with you that unfortunately doesn't have quite so happy an ending. My family got to travel to Europe this past year, and Germany was one of the countries that we visited. And while we were there, we got to visit a number of historical sites related to World War II. And one of the guides, one of the tour guides at one of these sites, told us a story about his grandmother that is almost impossible to comprehend or imagine the sadness thereof. Hopefully you know about World War II and the fact that it is one of the worst wars in all of human history. As Hitler and his Nazis marched across Germany, taking over countries and murdering millions of people, mostly Jews, but many, many other groups as well, simply because they didn't deem them worthy of living. And as this began happening, families would just pack up their belongings and leave their home country and go somewhere where they thought it would be safer. If they didn't have time to pack, they just left. But fairly quickly, the Nazis got such a tight rein of the countries that it was impossible for them to leave. And you're probably familiar with how many families went into hiding. One of the sites we got to tour was the Anne Frank House. And that's an amazing site if you don't know that story. Unfortunately, so many of them were eventually found out and also murdered. But what you may not be aware is that there were people that would help facilitate small numbers of people to be able to escape from hiding and get out of the country. They couldn't take whole families, but one or two people here and there. So what many families did was they would choose one family member and they would let the people take that family member and escape so that their family legacy could live on. And this was the case with this guide's grandmother. Excuse me. And as it turned out, she became the only member of her family that survived. The only reason that he was alive to be able to tell us the story. As he told that story, I couldn't help but think about what that scene must have been like as they talked about the fact that she was going to be leaving. The parents coming to the child and saying, "Our daughter, you're going to have to leave here." "But mom and dad, I don't want to leave." "Yes, you have to leave. You have to go from here." "But mom and dad, I love you. I want to be with you. I don't want to go." "Yes, daughter, you have to leave." "But why, mom, dad? Why do I have to leave?" "Because it's the only way you can be saved. It's the only way that you can survive, hopefully survive this horrible, horrible war." And so they did, And you can just imagine with tears in their eyes, they closed the door and looked at each other, knowing it would be the last time they would see each other. Like I said, a story that happened not just to this one grandmother, but many, many, many times over. I didn't mention she was a teenage girl at the time that this happened. So sad. And after I thought about that scene, I thought about another scene. That day in heaven when the father came to the son and said, "Son, I need you to leave heaven and go down to the earth that we created for a few years and live there among the people that we created." "But Father, I don't want to do that. But son, I need you to go. I need you to go down there." "Father, I love you. I don't want to go away from you." "I love you too, son, but I need you to go." "Why, Father? Why do I need to go?" But in this case, the answer was not so that you can be saved, but so that all those people down there can be saved. "Well, how's that going to work, Father? What's going to happen?" "Well, some of them will love you and accept you and recognize that you are my son and follow you and do everything you say. But most of them won't. They'll reject you and they'll laugh at you and they'll scoff at you. And a small number of them will take you and nail you to a wooden cross and crucify you there. And you'll go through a lot of pain and a lot of agony. And the blood that you shed there will be the sacrifice that serves as the atonement that will save people from their sins." And so the son said, "Okay, I'll go." This is the sacrifice, folks, that's spoken of in John 3:16 when the Bible says, "God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believed in him would not perish but have everlasting life." And it's the sacrifice, it's the sacrificial nature of the son in Philippians chapter 2, verse 6 through 8, when it says, speaking of Christ, "who, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of man, and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross." When we take the Lord's Supper each Sunday, we typically focus on that cross and on the sacrifice and on the pain and the anguish that we went through. But this morning, let's refocus our thinking just a little bit, as is the theme of our service this morning, and think not only about the sacrifice of the death on the cross, but also about the sacrifice of both the Father and the Son as they separated themselves for a time being so that they could bring to the world eternal salvation. Let's go to God in prayer as we prepare to take the bread. God, our Father in heaven, we're thankful to you for the marvelous grace that you gave us when you gave up your Son and allowed him to come to this earth and live here and live among men and give us direction for our life, but to fulfill the primary purpose that he came, to die on the cross so that we could be saved. As we take this bread, we pray that we will remember that fact, that we will show our love for you and our love for Christ as we take this in a worthy manner. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Pray now for the cup that we're about to take that represents the blood of Jesus. God, again, we continue our thanks as we are about to partake of the cup, the fruit of the vine that represents the blood that our Savior shed. Help us to always live our lives recognizing that we've been washed in the blood of Jesus, that blood that he shed on the cross. We're thankful for the fact that you and he separated yourselves from each other and that you sacrificed him, gave him up, your only beloved son. As we partake of this cup, let us do so in a word that is pleasing to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, this concludes the Lord's Supper, but we also take a moment at this time to reflect on the fact that another part of our worship is the opportunity for the members of the congregation here to give of our means, to return to the Lord a portion of what he's blessed us with so that the work of the church here can be carried out. This is not a solicitation of giving from our visitors, but rather an opportunity for the members here to support the work. There's boxes in the back and on the side that you can place your collection in, or obviously you can go online onto our website and go through the process of giving online. Let's give a prayer for thanks for the blessings that we've been blessed with. And Father, we're thankful for this day, for this good worship service that we're involved in, for those who are taking a leading part and doing such a great job leading in the songs and leading our thoughts. Father, we're mindful just now of the fact that we are responsible for returning to you in a cheerful way, not begrudgingly, but to give to you and to the work here things that will help carry out the work that we're doing here. We pray your blessings on all that we do as a church, that we will always be in accordance with your word, and that our elders and deacons will make decisions that are rightful according to your word, and that the funds will be used in a scriptural and in a way that is best serving of our congregation. We ask these things in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Lord, the people praise you.
Lord, the people praise you.
None of you realize this, but Craig is dealing with a sore throat today, but you wouldn't be able to tell it by the way he got up here and led that song. I will have to tell you, I enjoy these kinds of services so much, and it's basically because I get a chance to really worship with you, and your singing today has moved me to tears more than once. It has just been a blessing to be a part of this worship service. Craig, thank you for manning up here, even though you have a sore throat. Reset your outlook. What do I mean by that? I want you to think about your life right now. Is your life hard or is it fun? Is your life an adventure or is your life drudgery? Do you see your life as a hassle sometimes, or do you see it full of opportunity? Are you going through life right now loving or just existing? Paul, when he was writing to the church at Philippi, he was in prison. He didn't have it so well. But he wrote these words, "Rejoice in the Lord always. And I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Don't be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God will transcend all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or have seen in me, put into practice, and the God of peace will be with you." Reset your outlook.
A while back, I got an email. Well, we got an email saying Neil wants us to choose one of our favorite songs to lead today. And with a bench as deep as what we have for song leaders, you don't ask a bunch of song leaders to pick their favorite songs and expect to do a whole lot of singing or a whole lot of sitting. So what I'm about to ask, you can blame Neil. Would you please stand?
There's a message to apply for, simple and sad.
Still far from Jesus' name.
As I've said before, I like chicken wings. And there's a couple of places that I go to get chicken wings, and it seems like the best chicken wings are always at a bar. And I don't know why that is, but I go to the bar to get my wings. And one particular day, I was in this bar ordering my wings, and I was with a friend of mine, and I saw on the TV Clemson football going on. Now, I don't watch sports that much. I do enjoy it, but it's not something I do every Saturday. But this particular day, I was having my wings, and it was on TV. I was watching them play, and I was getting excited watching them play because of the fact they were about to lose. And they were about to lose to somebody that has been their arch enemies, University of South Carolina. And I'm watching this game, and I'm getting a little more excited, a little more intense, and my friend that was with me started laughing at me. And I said, "Why are you laughing?" He said, "Because they've already lost." And I said, "No, the game's not over." He says, "No, that game was played last Saturday." Keep laughing. It's good for you. But it was interesting because I knew the end of the game. And I could relax. You see, your perspective of what's going on sometimes needs to change. And one of the things you need to realize is that the end of the game of life, if you're a quit Christian, you win. And no matter what goes on right now, no matter what's happening around you, in the end, you win. And if you can keep that perspective, it makes everything okay. It's how Paul could say, whether I am in need or whether I have plenty, it's okay, because in the end, we win. I don't know where you are in your walk with God today, but if you're in Christ, you win. However, the opposite of that is true. If you're not in Christ, lose. I'm about to turn 65 here in a few days. That's been weighing on me like no other birthday. I think it's because Nancy told me I had to sign up for that Medicare stuff. And I told her, I said, "I don't need to sign up for that. I am healthy. I still look good. That needs to be put off for a few more years." And she says, "No, it's a government regulation. You have to sign up for it." And I had to go online and admit to our government that I am an old fart, and I did not like it. But I'm not as old as Monty Betts. I got that going for me. I told Monty, I wish Monty a happy birthday, and Monty didn't even know how old he was. That's how old Monty is. He didn't know. I mean, he didn't know exactly how old he was today, but he's getting there. I explained it to him. He had to take off his shoes and count his toes, but he got there. But the thing of it is, I'm watching life in the rearview mirror now. I don't know why I do stupid things like this, but I went online and they had this article that said, if you'll plug in all these things, we can guess when you're going to die. And I thought, well, that's pretty cool. You know, I'm going to go on there. And I plugged in all this stuff. And I went out and I said, "Nancy, we got a lot to do. I'm going to be dead by the time I'm 79. And she goes, "Oh, okay." and calculated that I was going to live a lot less than I thought, because I wasn't truthful with the questions. So, when the Lord calls me home, whether it's at 79 or tomorrow, I win. Because I am in Christ. I did a funeral for my neighbor yesterday. His widow and some family members came to the church and we did a funeral. And I learned some things about my neighbor I didn't know. He was really a cool guy. I loved talking to him. I knew he was a musician, but I really didn't know the caliber of music. I heard him play once, and it was so loud that I had to leave the room. But one of the things I found very interesting is that he did sound for the Rolling Stones while they were still alive. You're saying, well, they're not dead yet. If you saw that they had to advertise on AARP to get people to come to their concert, they're dead. But the thing of it is all of the things that he had accomplished in his life, the degrees he had and all of those things, they didn't matter. What really mattered was the relationships he left here on this earth and the relationship he had with God. Your outlook or your perspective should be, am I in the right relationship with God, and am I in the right relationship with God? Because when your time here on earth is over, that's all. So today, as we sing an invitation song, reflect on your perspective, and are you going to win, or are you going to lose if today the Lord calls you home? Will you stand again?
I apologize, everybody. I forgot to update the slides, but just follow me. We're going to do every slide twice, so that means to begin the song, sopranos, you're going to do this twice. Then we're going to bring in the altos twice, and then tenors, and then bass. I can't leave you behind, so you're going to make sure you get your part, because I think we've left you out almost every single time we've done this. But you just sing the same part the tenors do. You just bring that little extra, that little feeling to it. And Neil, you're not an old fart. You don't look a day over 64, so don't worry about it. So sopranos, starting off. So.
One word for today, inspired. He had you take your seat, so I'm not going to torture you. You guys go ahead. Get back up. I'm playing. We will sing all three verses of Home of the Soul because we're going home. If for the prize you have
strayed,
should be in the front row. I'm just saying, it sounds awesome. It's a good day. Looking forward to the new year, whatever the Lord gives us, right? Amen. That's how we'll pray. Would you join me? Lord God, you are good, you are great, you are mighty, you're magnificent, you're wonderful, you're our hope and our strength, our anchor. We are thankful for all you are and who you are. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. May all the earth praise you, Lord. May we praise you in the way that we set our sight looking out into this new year of whatever that you would give us, that you would give us the strength that we need. Help us, Lord. 2024 is basically done. Help us forget what lays behind us. Press forward to what it is that you have before us. Help us, Lord, that we would keep our eyes fixed on Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for what you do. Thank you for being the author of our faith. Be the author of our salvation, being the finisher. It is all in you. We thank you, Holy Spirit, too, for guiding us and leading us, that you give us fruit. We thank you, Jesus, that you've called every one of us here as believers to abide in you. May we abide in you more this year than we did this last year. Father, we know that, like he said, for us to be content in whatever circumstances, you know this next year. You know what's coming. Some of us are going to be in need. Some of us are going to have plenty. But through that all, we need to be content, and we need to be giving and loving and generous and kind and being fruitful. Help us to be the light, to stay connected to you, to abide in Christ so that We can be the light of the world, Lord. We get so distracted, and we don't want to be distracted. And you tell us not to get down, but to rejoice always in you, Lord. To say, rejoice in you, to come to you with thanksgiving, to come to you, present our request to you, and here's one of our requests. We would all be in deeper and deeper relationship with Jesus. That we would all be selfless, that we would share Jesus Christ, that we would fill this room many times over with those that could say, this is the year that I came to the Lord. Help us to be focused, Lord, as we go out from here for whatever you give us for the new year. With this perspective, our citizenship is in heaven. We thank you. We thank you that we have that, that we have Jesus Christ, that you said you came and you gave us eternal life. Thank you for eternal life, that we don't have to face damnation because of what you did. Thank you for your incredible sacrifice. We pray over our elders, Lord. We pray that you would bless them with wisdom, bless them with guidance, bless them with truth, bless them with service, that they might lead and lead well. We pray for all of our members here, that we would love you more this next year than we did last year. We would love each other more, so much so that the world would look and say, wow, there are followers of Jesus Christ. You said that's what you want. This is your will. So help us to submit to that. And we praise you that you give us the power to be able to do that. Not perfectly, but it is progress and not perfection. We know even what we read tonight, we will not be perfected until we get face to face with you. And so we praise you, Lord. We thank you for this day that you have made. We thank you for your mercy that you pour over us new every single day. We thank you. We thank you for who you are. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. In Jesus' name, amen.